Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship here at College Park. It's a blessing to be a part of this body of Christ and come to worship together today. Thank you for being a part of worship. A few announcements we'll make as we begin this morning. We'd like to find out who is here today. The way we do that, it's very simple. There are pew pads in the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once you're done, if you could send it back to that first person, and we do ask that first person if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Reminder about a few things that's happening in the life of our church. If I don't really put my words together properly, we had a week of youth camp. I'm still recovering from that. It was a great week at Garden City. Very proud of our teenagers, and God did an incredible work there. And you'll be hearing more about that in the coming days and weeks, I'm sure. So thank you for the many prayers that we felt. We certainly needed them and felt them. So thank you very much for that. But summer's not over. We still have other things that are coming up, including preschool day camp. We're in the last two weeks of that. Next week, not this Monday, but the following Monday, begins our elementary day camp. That is from 9 until 3 every day. So we invite children, first grade through fifth grade, to be a part of that. And we look forward to a great time together. This Wednesday is our church conference. Scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Hope that you come and be a part of that. Also, this is for College Parkers. There's a fall foliage trip to New England. Leave on September the 26th. If you are interested, call Ken Hatchett, and there are some openings still for that trip. This Wednesday, after the church conference, we are having our final Wednesday night preview. Our youth ministry is making adjustments on Wednesday nights, and we're needing lots of people to be involved in that ministry. And we've had two of these Wednesday night previews. This will be our third. And then starting in August, we'll have some training sessions for those who feel called to be a part of that ministry. But after the church conference is over, around 7:30, we will start. It'll be about 30 minutes, very quick introduction, and we want you to come down there. We've got snacks, and want you to feel a little bit of what it's like on Wednesday night down there, minus the chaos. But there is snacks and just fun time together. So we invite you to come from 7:30 to 8 this Wednesday. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to have a special children's time. We're going to invite you guys to participate. Now, David is going to ask the kids to close their eyes, okay? And when he does, and they actually close their eyes, I'm going to stand up and do Miss Mary, an impression of Miss Mary. And I want everybody to stand up, because we're showing these kids the gift that is College Park Baptist, okay? So I'll have you stand up, and they're going to see you as the gift that God has given them. And then, just as an excitement thing, they're going to run down and give high fives to everybody on the end of the pews. So be prepared. They're going to go down this one and then around the back, and they're going to come back up. So if you're near the end, get ready to give a high five to a preschooler. There's no better feeling than that. Okay? So be prepared. So when I do this, we'll stand up. When they come down, they're going to high five, and then we'll sit you down at the very end. So thank you for helping us out with that. I think that will be a fun time together. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Make sure you make note of those things. The youth are going whitewater rafting this Tuesday. Please be praying for that. I think that's it. Any other announcements? Okay. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're so thankful for you being here. This is a wonderful place for worship and for service, for being a disciple of Christ. And we invite you, if you're a guest, just to raise your hand right where you are. And our ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, also a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. On Thursday night of youth camp, it's usually you're very tired, and the youth have been really stretched by the speaker, by the activities, by what's been going on. This past Thursday night was no different, except it was actually a little bit more. I want you to understand what I have known, and many of you have known for a long time. The pressures that our teenagers are facing now are greater than any that I have seen since I've been doing youth ministry. The pressures, the troubles, the difficulties. And what I saw in the room that Thursday night when they began to share those things, the underlying causes for other behavior issues or whatever, our children need our prayers and our support, and we need to take a lesson from them. I believe as a church, we need to open up to our brothers and sisters in Christ when we are struggling, when we are hurting, when we don't know what the answer is. We need to be more transparent with one another. That is where the richness of the body of Christ comes, when we realize, God, I cannot do this on my own. That I need you, and I need you. That is something I learned this week at youth camp. When we come to worship, we open ourselves up. Are you prepared to open yourselves to Christ today and to let him have his way? He has much to teach us, much to show us. Let us be ready. Will you pray with me? Father, if we were honest this morning, many of us suffer from broken hearts and troubled souls. If we were honest, many times our questions outlast our answers. But Father, when we rely on you, when we put our trust in you, it's like waking up to a new sunrise, to seeing you, to seeing our life anew. Father, so wherever our souls are this morning, wherever we find ourselves, the spirit in which we find ourselves, I pray we would rest in your arms of mercy and grace. May this time of worship glorify you because you have given another chance. Be in this place. It is our sincere prayer. May your Holy Spirit reign and speak and comfort. In Jesus' name.
Turn to you. I want to welcome you and invite any children who want to come down. Good morning. Are y'all happy to be here this morning? I see all the smiles on your face. Yeah, there's Mom. Wave to Mom. Let me ask you a question. How many here, I bet nobody's going to say yes, but who likes to receive gifts? Who likes presents? You don't like presents? I love presents too. Cool, yeah. Well, we will talk about that after worship. I'd love to hear about that. That sounds like a cool gift. Well, we're going to talk about one of God's many gifts that he's given to us. I want you to stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Come on. Now, I want everybody to close. I want you to close your eyes. And keep your eyes closed because I'm fixing to get the. And turn around. Keep your eyes closed. Turn around. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. And when I say open your eyes, open your eyes. Look, this is your gift. The church, yeah. This is your gift. Gift from God. This is your church. The church is full of many special people that will love you, support you, and teach you how to be like Christ-like. It's very special. These people love you. You have people like Mr. Raymond, Mr. Jeff, Miss Mary, Mary Nell, who feeds us every Wednesday night with her great group. That's my love. And you have your Sunday school teachers like Miss Leanne and many others. So when I get excited and I get a gift, I like to give my people who give me a gift high fives and all the people in my family. So what we're going to do is go down the middle of the aisle giving high fives and thanking people for the gift. All right? Let's walk. Go. Follow me. High fives. High fives. Come on. High fives. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go. You got it. Keep it going. Yeah. Thank you. Let's go. Yeah, this is fun, huh? Thank you. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you. All right, let's wait on everybody else. Shane's making sure to thank everybody. That's your brother, yep. Now, isn't that an exciting gift that we just received, that God has given us? Now, let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you for this gift, and thank you for the many examples to show how to be just like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think the balcony and the choir might feel a little bit left out. So Raymond said he'll probably get a letter about it. He said that can't cover you next week is what David said. Oh, me. Today we're reading from Psalm 89, verses 20 through 37. And if you'd like to follow along, you can take the Pew Bible or if you have an NIV and follow along. Okay. I have found David, my servant, with my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He'll call out to me, "You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior." I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes and violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. Would you please bow with me? Actually, we're going to hear a beautiful song right now by Kim Jones. Would you pray with me? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your glory that's in this place, through your presence, through your sweet and gentle, powerful spirit, through music as we worship you, through your word that we hear that resounds with us, and your spoken word, through the children and their love of life, and the way that we see you working in their hearts. We thank you for your presence, the evidence of your love in this place. We thank you that we're able to be here to draw together and worship your holy name. to get perspective and insight on the life that you've called each of us to live. We lift up to you all those who would love to be here and cannot. Perhaps they're away or they're physically limited, but we ask your blessing upon them and your help in their situation, that you would bring them healing and hope and encouragement. Father, we thank you so much for those who are here today. Perhaps they're visiting or found their way here, and we give thanks for them also. And Father, most of all, we are grateful for your faithfulness to us. As we have read in your word, you are faithful to forgive us. We fall short every day. So many times we could never, ever earn salvation. And we could never, ever earn your love, for you are perfect and holy. So we thank you for the Savior that we heard in the scripture just now in the psalm. You are our God, our King, our Savior, and you sent Jesus Christ to live that out. You sent Jesus Christ to give us that path, to come to you, to experience your mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Thank you for loving us as we are, for gathering us in and taking us, even at our worst, and for shedding your love upon us and putting it in our hearts, so that we can turn around and forgive others and love others with a holy love that we could never have. Father, it's amazing how you have set all of this in motion and how you bless us. We thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation through Christ, and we thank you that we never, ever lose that hope and that assurance in you as we trust in you. So, Father, thank you for your blessings here and your blessings yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Father God, we give you praise and thanks for all your mercies. Your goodness has created us. Your discipline has challenged us. And your love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve you by giving of ourselves to your service. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in the ministries of this church and this community. Teach us to render to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not only with our lips, but with our lives. We acknowledge that all things come from you, and with gratitude, we return to you what is yours. We pray, Lord, that you will keep our hearts tender to the needs of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Looked up and saw the choir this morning. I thought it must be high attendance day in choir. It's good. Looking good, choir. And good to see you this morning. We had a good crowd in 9 o'clock service as well. Did a little bit something different at 9 o'clock this morning. We had what some people call church in the round. It was actually a little bit more like church in the square because we couldn't really get it round in there, but everybody was facing each other. And the band was in the center, and the band was kind of unplugged, kind of all acoustic kind of thing going on. But it was a good experience for us because you were looking at other people. And so when you're talking about the church, you actually are face-to-face with the church. You're looking at the people across from you. And as you're singing, and there was some glorious singing there, you're singing across and you're singing with each other. And, of course, we're singing to God. So it was a good time in there. Good crowd here this morning. Good singing. A good worship time together. It constantly reminds us that it's not about us. It's about God. It's about lifting up praise and honor to Him. And I appreciate your faithfulness week after week after week to come, to invite others to come be a part of worship together. We're going to continue our discussion. We kind of started last week in Ephesians talking about the church and what it means to be church. Who is the church and what makes up the church? In my study this week, again, William Willimon and especially the Interpreter's Bible this week, some really good comments on this passage in Ephesians chapter 2 about what it means to be church and the implications of that. Before we get too far along, let's read the passage together. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, and I will begin in verse 11 and read down through the end of chapter 2. It reads, "Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision," then parentheses, "that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now," that was then, this is now, "but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." It's about Christ. Always has been, always will be. It's not about us. "For he himself is our peace,
who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. One Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to make us one, right? Was sent to make us one. Consequently, as a result of all of this that we've just read, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, who is him? Christ Jesus. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, who's him? Christ Jesus. You too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Cornerstone. We know the hymn. We sing the hymn occasionally. We sang it in revival several times. Who is our cornerstone? Jesus Christ. Says it very clearly in Scripture. That's the way it was set up. That's the way it's meant to be. Cornerstone. That's what we're going to study today. What it means, what is the cornerstone? Just as a matter of information for you, they can't find the cornerstone for the U.S. Capitol. Not kidding. Not joking. They can't find it. There was this great dedication ceremony in the early 19th century where construction of the Capitol building began. But over years, the cornerstone sank. And it was covered by gathering debris of the ages. Now it can't be located. So they commissioned this group to start digging everywhere to see if they can find it. It probably cost us as taxpayers a pretty penny. So they're digging around and trying to find the cornerstone for the Capitol building. Because the cornerstone represents the history and the dedication of the building, which is in and of itself a sign and symbol of its purpose. You say, well, Raymond, what does that have to do with the Bible? Very little. Other than this, it is an illustration of the fact that we must not lose sight of our cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Because knowing him and knowing that he is the cornerstone of the building on which all rest and all purpose is given by Jesus Christ. It's not about us, it's about him. As I read last week, again from verses 19 through 22, hear these again. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Built upon the foundation of who? The apostles and the prophets, with who as cornerstone? Jesus Christ. In him, the whole structure is joined together. He brings it all together. In whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Now, I can't imagine, I suspect you can't either because we have no point of reference. But for those in the first century who were hearing these words for the first time, those Gentiles who heard these words for the first time, it was literally life-changing. To know that they were being included in part of God's promises to his people. It was life-changing, literally. I'll bet over the years of youth ministry and pastoral ministry, I've heard this question at least 100 times. This is the question. And Charles, you can nod right along with me. The question is, will the Jews be saved, preacher? To which I always reply, that's up to God, isn't it? Don't you hate it when people answer your question with a question? But you see, the problem with the question, to begin with, is that the question is not really a biblical New Testament question. It's not. I'm sorry, it's just not. Romans 11:29 is very clear. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God has made a promise to preserve and to love Israel, and God keeps God's promises. So however he works all of that out is not up to us. It's not even up to us to decide. It's up to God. It's God's business. Our part in the deal is to be faithful to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. Everyone. No discrimination. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit's work. That's not our job. Our job is to be faithful. Be the church. Be the body of Christ. The work and the ministry and the missions that we go from here, the worship of the church, that's what we do. Because you see, the real New Testament question is not will the Jews be saved? The question is, will the Gentiles be saved? Because everything leading up to the New Testament is about who? The Jews. Yeah, it's God's people. So the real question in the New Testament is, will we be saved? Will we, the Gentiles, be saved? What about those that didn't have a copy of the Scriptures? What about those who know nothing of the words of the prophets and the promises of Israel? What about them? What about us? And Ephesians says, yes. By an amazing act of God in Christ, the promises of God to Israel are brought even to the Gentiles. Jesus gave us a glimpse of this. Because, you know, he would leave the area, as sometimes it says in New Testament, he would leave the area and go into the area of the Gentiles, which was revolutionary. It was radical for a rabbi to do that. And he went over to do miraculous signs and wonders to begin to give them an idea of who he was and what was going to be offered to them. And Ephesians says, yes, it's going to be offered. So the writer to the Ephesians says in chapter 1, verse 5 that we talked about last week, that we are outsiders. We Gentiles have been destined by God for adoption through grace that he lavished on us. What a word. That he lavished. What comes to your mind when you hear the word lavished? Just more and more and more and more. His grace that he lavished on us. What an awesome promise. We have been brought close to God through Christ. And we can only be in God's family through adoption. Have you ever thought about that? We can only be in God's family through adoption. No one comes here naturally, quote unquote. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, said, Christians are made, not born. Everybody comes to a point of decision. We, who weren't in the family, have obtained an inheritance. We weren't in the will, okay? We weren't in the will, Gentiles as we are. Now we are heirs to a fortune. By the seal of the Holy Spirit, we are marked as God's own people. Again, last week's scripture passage from Ephesians chapter 1. We are God's own people. And then in chapter 2, Paul continues, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were. You were, quote, far off. You were, but now we're close. The wall is down, according to chapter 2, which we read just a few minutes ago. The wall has been taken down, which brings us to the scripture that our word is for this Sunday. And the writer uses these architectural metaphors. We talked about the foundation and the cornerstone. But note that the verbs in this passage are all passive. They're all passive. He doesn't say, you decided to join the church. Instead, he writes, you were built. You were joined together. You were built together spiritually. Your relationship to this new family is not of your own doing. It's something that is done for you, and that something is grace. Grace, grace, marvelous grace, grace that's greater than our... It is. And it's been lavished upon us. Note that the passage begins with kind of a little bit of political talk in the sense of the language. He's talking about aliens and citizens. You know, the idea is these people have exchanged their citizenship from one country for that of a new country. We said, no, we don't want to be associated with that country anymore. We want to be associated with this new country. And the point here is that if you thought being a Christian is something that comes naturally, the natural, normal thing to do, think again. Nobody comes in by birth. You have to be adopted. There's a transferring that goes on. Built into this household. That's kind of a strange concept. And as I thought about that a little bit, I thought, you know, I wonder. And I didn't call them. I should have, because that would have made a great sermon illustration. I didn't call my parents to ask them, but I wonder if they really worried about whether I would become a Christian as I was growing up. I wonder if that's something that they really worried about. Because it seems like when I was growing up, and you, not that I'm really grown up, as I was getting older, I remember that's what everybody did. We grew up in church together. Everybody was kind of in church. And at some point, God got your attention. God pulled you to Himself. You felt the Holy Spirit, the drawing to you, and you responded to that. And I woke up this week and realized that whether my parents were justified in believing that everybody would kind of do that, the point is that that's not the thought today. The world in which Christianity was normal and is natural, that's kind of ended. I find in America today a new awareness that our children and grandchildren may not necessarily grow up into this faith. And that can be frightening. And that's the reason when we hear from our teenagers and our youth leaders what kind of week they experienced last week, we can give thanks. We can rejoice. You see, being Christian is no longer the normal American natural thing to do. Our children spend 30 hours plus a week in front of a screen or various screens. They're in church a maximum of maybe a couple of hours per week. That's if parents are faithful to get them here. You see, when watching television, when texting, when posing for selfies and all of that stuff, they are constantly being bombarded with images of what success looks like, what the good life looks like. And the goal of humanity seems to be directly opposed to what Christ taught, to what Christ defined in these matters. And now more than ever, the church and its teaching, its witness, its worship, its work become more important than ever in instilling in us and within our children and within our grandchildren a way that honestly seems to be running counter to the world's ways. Years ago, there was a Christian theologian that spoke about anonymous Christians. And what he was talking about is people who were good and sincere and did good things for people, but didn't formally embrace the Christian faith. They were kind of like Christians at large, or you know, honorable mentions or something like that. Anonymous Christians, even though they didn't know really what they were. And the truth of the matter is, they may be good people or have been good people, but probably weren't Christians. Because a Christian, as I read it, is someone who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is seeking to walk daily with Christ, who is seeking to become more and more like Christ. Christian, Christ one, originally a derogatory term, but one we've come to embrace because we do desire as believers to become more like Christ, Christ ones. Truth is, there may be many around us who are not Christians who are just good people that need to know Christ personally. And in like manner, the church without boundaries, with no borders, with no distinctive marks, is hardly a church. It's just a social gathering. You know, perhaps there was a time when it was enough, in our culture at least speaking, to be merely sincere. The problem with that is you can be sincerely wrong. You can. You can be as sincere as you want, and be completely wrong in terms of Scripture. Things have changed. We are beginning to feel as North American Christians like aliens, like missionaries in the very society that we thought we had created. And in such a time as these, this text from Ephesians begins to make sense again. The church is an identifiable new family. As you look around you, this is the church. As we had the children stand and look, that's the church. That's the gift of God to us, fellow believers. It's bigger. It's bigger than we normally call family because it's made up of a more diverse people who Jesus has called to follow him. Think of being a Christian as if you're taken out of your human family and made a member of the family of God, the household of faith, as the writer of Ephesians calls it. It's a house with who as the cornerstone? You'll get that point for your leave today. That stone on which the whole house is built, that foundation on which everything rests and depends. The winds may blow, the storms may come, but not even the gates of hell will prevail against it because Christ is the cornerstone. Amen? I hope that you take comfort in this. That the words here were not meant to scare us. The words were meant to challenge us and to give us hope and comfort. Too often we're guilty of presenting the Christian faith like it's something that depends upon us. And it really doesn't. You know, and we're guilty in church, especially in Western culture. You know, when I gave my life to Christ, when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, a lot of personal pronouns there that depend on us. But take a word of comfort from Ephesians. You know, it speaks of us in the passive tense, and it speaks of God in the active voice. It's God who has called us here. God made a decision for us. God has built us as parts of this new household. God has broken down the dividing walls between men and women, between races, and between ages, between social classes. And if you're here in church today following Jesus Christ, it's because you have been put here by God in Christ for a purpose. That doesn't remove personal responsibility or decision. It simply puts it in perspective. All of this reminds me that when all's said and done, my relationship with Christ is, thank goodness, not a matter of what I feel or what I do or what I say, but what God in Christ through the church has done. Because there may be mornings when I wake up when I don't feel or act or speak like a Christian, but that's not the point. The point is that I've been called forth to be part of this strange, wonderful, new, divine experiment in human family called church. That's who we are. Jesus blessed it as he left. And so today we hear you're no longer aliens. No longer alienated from God, but some of you are learning today that by being close to God, you become more and more alienated from this society, which at times is very much at odds with what Christ taught. And we've been joined to a new family, a new household. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Thank God for it. Let's pray and thank him. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy that has been extended to us. Father, through the cross and through the sacrifice of your Son, we've been offered grace that we can never earn or we can never deserve. And we are truly thankful. God, we pray that even as we join our hearts together and and listen to what you would have to say to us. That if there is someone here this morning that doesn't have that relationship with you, that they would feel the pull of your Holy Spirit, pulling them to you, drawing you closer to them. Excuse me, drawing them closer to you. Father, help them to recognize that as your voice. Father, if there are those that are here that are believers, but perhaps have come to depend on themselves rather than you. Father, it's so easy in this culture to do it, but we pray for forgiveness. We pray for your mercy to cleanse us, to make us new. Father, in all of this, we thank you for the church because you've given us support and encouragement, tangible right here in front of us, that we can reach out and hug one another and hold each other's hand to get through the tough times. And yes, we draw upon your Spirit as well, but we thank you for the gift of the church. And Father, as we go out in your name, we pray that we would lean on you, we would draw our strength from you, and that we would be guided by you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you are seeking a relationship with Christ, or you are a believer and want to enrich your relationship, your walk with Christ, or if you're here and would like to be a member of this church, it is a magnificent church. I can say that. It really is. Not perfect because we are human, but truly a wonderful fellowship. If you'd like to join this church, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that, or whatever decision you might like to talk about and pray about. I'll be here at the front as we sing a hymn together. I invite you to make your decision as we stand and sing together now. Benediction and response, I invite you, be the church, greet one another, encourage one another, and speak to one another as we go out into our mission field, which starts at these doors, people. All right, have a great week. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship and to be encouraged and to learn from you. But Father, equip us and challenge us guide us as we go forth, that we would be faithful witnesses, that we would be missionaries, extending the hope, the peace, the love that is in your Christ, in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all of these things in His name. Amen.